Welcome to Geeks of North, a homie giving podcast in the Belle Provence. This week I'm here with the guys, and we're doing our Kiesto Zik Figurine Quebec wrap-up. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Geeks of North, the homie giving podcast in the Belle Provence. As always, I'm your host, Paul Fillion, here this week with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hi!
Yom La Machine.
Hello, everybody.
And B. Steve.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's everyone this week?
Good.
Very good.
Good, good. So we skipped an episode because I never got it out. So when people hear this, there'll be a 2-for-1 special. You'll be able to get last episode, which is now horribly late and outdated, but okay to listen to while you're painting, and this episode, which is less outdated.
Twice the fun.
We hope.
Almost still warm from the oven.
Yeah, almost still warm. Yeah, the butter won't melt, but the crust is still soft. Yeah. I that was just weird. Edit that out.
No, you won't.
Yeah, guys. So it's been a while. We've all been super busy.
Yes,
you can say that. Yep.
Yeah, me with screaming babies. You guys with Chaos Lezik.
And screaming, and older children's.
And wives and whatever. Yeah, exactly. And working on painting projects. Mr. Antoine, a big winner of online painting contest. And
yeah.
Mr. Yom, I won again. Yeah. You know, Steve, you and I
Steve
have to too. Actually start winning
Steve
stuff.
Steve won best painted and best goal at the Guild Ball tournament.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's spoiling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, am I horribly,
we're all
like
painting winners here.
Yeah. So it seems.
Except.
Yeah.
Oh, you won at ReaperCon. That's fine.
Well, yeah. 6 months
that's,
ago.
Yeah, that's almost two episodes. That's just that 2 episodes ago. That's true. Like just 2 episodes ago. That's fine.
Oh, we're so bad, Antoine. All right. So. This week, we're going to do a quick Chaos Lezik wrap-up. That's never going to happen. We're going to do a Chaos Lezik wrap-up and a Figurine Quebec wrap-up, talking about the two shows that just finished. And aside from that, we're going to do all our regular hobby junk. So let's get this started. And this is here, right, Antoine? It's in the dock. It's next. That's where it goes.
If you want to mention it.
Sure. Cool stuff on the web.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, what has Antoine found us this week?
So, well, a month ago or so, I stumbled about upon that.
This week.
It's a blog post by Rob Hawkin from Rob Hawkin Hobby Blog and Skullforge Scenics.
Isn't he out, like the terrain master?
Yes, that's him.
Okay.
He did a blog post about how to do your static grass tuft yourself. And it's interesting. So it involved electricity, static grass, and stuff like that. So
Are there Tesla coils?
Nearing that level, but not exactly.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I was really hoping for a Tesla coil.
Let's go for electric fly swatter. And that's about the level of electricity you get.
Okay. Because, you know, if this blog post had been done by Dan Tatone, there would be a Tesla coil somewhere in there.
Oh, for sure.
He probably would have been killed in the process, but those tufts would be upright and erect. just saying.
Yeah.
But Rob Hawkins is like the master of all things terrain. And this looks like pretty intense. I see a little sifter and alligator clips, which I assume go to some sort of power source. And a metal sheet.
No, the clips go to your metal sheets to electrify between the little...
Right.
How so did you say
trying to pass between the metal sifter and the...
The sifter, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sifter is screwed in what was originally a fly swatter.
Okay. And I just want to have a disclaimer that we take no responsibility for any injuries or damage caused by this blog post. If you electrocute yourself, your child, your pet.
The blog post explained the exact same thing. So there's the same disclaimer there. So
yeah, we just shared information.
Yeah. I don't care if Rob gets sued. I just don't want us getting sued. Right.
Sharing is caring.
That's right. Okay, so hobby time. Because that's enough cool stuff. First up, me, because I am the host. So I haven't been doing that much, really. I painted a whole heck of a lot of Menoth, which I may or may not have mentioned in the last episode that we never aired. Because that was recorded before Adepticon, and I was painting for Adepticon. So I don't really remember. But yeah, I finished painting a bunch of Menoth, and then I bought a bunch more, which I'm now currently working on. Aside from that, I pretty much finished painting the Cerastus Knight Atropos I had for my game against Yom, which may happen at some point if 8th edition doesn't happen first.
We could and... be in 8th edition.
So well, you're going to have skip 7th edition altogether for gaming, I guess, with the game with Yom?
We played one game of 7th edition. I played once 7th edition. It was against Yom 2 years ago.
Okay.
So there you go.
I can confirm I was there.
I think we almost got 3 turns done in a whole day. Aside from that, I painted a GW Imperial Sector Realm of Battle board. And so I got the 6 panels. I've got 5 of the 6 panels mostly done for that. To the point where I'm just at the extra detailing, which I don't really know what I want to do, but all the base painting is done, so they're perfectly playable. So I'm going to finish that 6-panel this week. And then I actually tried to order a second board so that I could get a whole... well, make something big enough to play our 18,000-point game on. And they are no longer orderable through stores. You can only order them on the web, which I thought was a bit disappointing. But they were kind enough to offer the Age of Sigmar board to me.
Well, who knows? With 8th edition, it might fit with 40K.
It's going to finally merge.
I mean, you could still use it with 40K, right? Because it's got all kinds of weird chaos symbols on it and stuff. You could just say it's some sort of chaos-corrupted planet, right? And that's fine. But it's just too freaky looking. And it doesn't tie in with my Imperial Sector at all.
And you don't play chaos. So you would have to start a chaos army.
I do play chaos, Steve.
Oh, okay.
You play demons.
I have a chaos demon army, and I have a whole chaos fantasy warriors army, right?
Yeah. I knew about the fantasy army, but not the demons.
Yeah, I bought the demons just before they nuked 8th.
Oh, okay.
I was doing a corn army based off the End Times books. So it was going to be demons and corn warriors and stuff.
Okay.
And then they exploded the world, and it all went into a box, and it hasn't been looked at in 2 years.
Steve, you didn't have the chance to beat the crap out of Paul before the end? With that army? No.
No.
Steve did a lot of beating the crap out of Paul, playing fantasy with Paul. I did okay a couple times. Like, we had a couple close games. I don't think I ever won against Steve.
Steve was beating everybody. So.
Yeah. I was lucky enough I beat Antoine once, I think. That was my big claim to fame. Of course, Antoine may have been taking it easy on me. I won't deny that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, or has no recollection at all.
Yeah. I mean, I even lost to Yom twice.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, yeah. You sucked at this game.
Yeah, well, that and your orcs were BS. Freaking squigs. Anyway. And let's see. Yeah, that's it for my hobby. I was really lame. I got nothing done. Then we go to games. So I played only one game of War Machine, and that happened to be last night against 80% G. Actually, I have some more hobby. I painted a Sepulcher and a Kraken as commissions for someone. So I painted 2 Colossals.
Oh, the 2, okay.
That's the other Crix Colossal. Okay.
And when you gave it back to the customer, did you say, release the Kraken?
I actually have not seen the customer. I gave it to G, who's his roommate. And I have not seen the customer at all. Though apparently he likes the models because he took them to Kieslowzik and he's been trying to make lists now with his Sepulcher that he never played before. So he's happy. That's good. I hope never to have to paint those models ever again. Just throwing that out there. Well, the thing about about Colossals, I find, is they have the same problem that Jacks do for War Machine in terms of detail level, but exploded, right? So I find that the detail level is not fantastic on them. Set up with a lot of just big blank surfaces or odd oversized rivets that just don't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is my personal opinion. I think the Kraken's one of the ones that suffers from it the most. There's still areas like that on the Conquest I find are bad. I think what's the Signar one? The Stormwall.
Stormwall.
Actually looks pretty good.
Yes.
I haven't seen a lot of the other ones close up, so I don't know, but.
The Stormwall is the big disco ball, or?
No.
That's the Strider. Yeah, the Stormwall is a big giant robot.
Okay.
With lightning coils on its shoulders and stuff.
We got lucky in Signar with the Stormwall. For the look, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I think it's a nice one. Anyway. So I painted those two. And yeah, so on to games. I played my Menoth against his Makeda 3 list. And on the first turn, at the end of the first turn, I was down 32 points to probably 8 or something. So I knew I was in trouble then. And then on the second turn, I killed a bunch of his stuff. So we pretty much leveled out in points. At the top of the third, though, he managed to get a charge on Aminad Raza. And his big, beefy, beastie thing ate almond for lunch. And that was game. So I got a little cocky thinking my defense 16 would keep me alive. I was wrong. Which actually is how the last time I died with Amon was too. I trusted that defense 16 to keep me alive with a couple focus on him. And it just, when you're getting hit for 32 points of damage and you've got 14 armor, it doesn't take long to kill you. Yeah, but it was a good game. Had lots of fun. Always a pleasure playing against G. And now I've got another list I'm working on. So we'll see if I can get that painted in the next couple weeks. And yeah, that's it for me and my hobby in games. Antoine, what you got?
So before you left for Adepticon, I painted you have more stuff. You painted some EFT too.
Well, I think that was in the last episode. I don't remember what was in the last episode, so that we never released. So
I'm pretty sure it wasn't, or we were working on them. So, well, I finished two Endless Fantasy Tactics model for On the Lamb, the Teeth and the Mandragora. The Mandragora is the second one I'm painting. I have one for myself, and now I painted one for the company. It's a fun model to do. And I still have another one coming, so I might try a different season on it, because I painted mine like springy, all green and flash, so I might go for like an autumn theme or something like that.
And some browns and oranges.
Yeah.
Is that Yom scraping models?
No, it's
yes,
me.
Yes, it is.
No,
it's me.
For once, it's not me.
It's me. I'll stop.
Damn it, Steve. I'm supposed to be making noise like this. Okay, whatever.
Right. Sorry, Antoine. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. I also did two Ords model, to a Legion of Everblight model. I finished the Seraph I started in the previous show, and did Absalonia 2. So those two were for Julien, a local player here. And then I took a pause of about 2 months of hobbying. That gives you an idea of how long we haven't recorded to work on Chaos Lytic.
Has it been that long since the last recording?
Almost.
No, so it was just before Adepticon? Or 2 weeks before Adepticon?
Yeah, 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, about 2 months. So, big break on anything IBM games to work on Chaos Lytic and some house stuff and work stuff. But, and then in the last week, the 2 weeks ago, I started painting 15 millimeter models for Chronicles of the Wayfarer. It's a new fantasy line, a small 15 millimeter models, cast in resin, super sharp detail. They are 3D sculpted. and really fantastic, super sharp. And it was a painting contest for bloggers. It's a promotion method for the company. So he sent the model, four models from four different units to, I think, 10 or 12 bloggers. And we had about 3 weeks to work on them, paint the four, do a blog post about it. And on the same day, we all released our articles. And there was a contest on Facebook with the likes and arts and stuff like that. So I painted the four in about a week. It was rough, especially as it was the week right before Kieselik. So it was not the only thing I had to do. But it was interesting. They were a lot of fun to paint. They were a big challenge to paint, though. Like 15 mirror model, they are just big enough that everything is paintable on it. Like, contrary to 10, like I've painted multiple models for War Master in 10 millimeters, and those are small enough that you can just go for extreme highlights on just some parts, and it looks good. But the 15 millimeter ones are big enough that you do have like real works to do. So I did blending on everything, did the NMM for the metals and the armors. And
you did the eyes. I was amazed that you did the eyes.
I tried to do the eyes.
No, you did were not alone, Steve.
You did the eyes.
Yeah, I tried at least. I like them, but
you succeeded.
Everyone else liked them, so I guess you're wrong.
Oh, yeah, but whatever. So, painted all four, finished like at 3 o'clock in the morning, took pictures before leaving for work and finishing my article in the train and published on time. That I'm happy. We were seven of the bloggers finished on time. So it ran and finished this morning. The voting finished this morning. And I'll put a disclaimer now. It's public voting. So whoever can vote. So in the end, it was more of a popularity contest than a painting contest. So whoever had time to go in groups, call friends and stuff like that, got the vote. And so in the end, I tied for first with John Martin, another UK painter, a Scotland painter, if I remember correctly. But I think mine's... I was in the top two for the results, like the painting, for the painting quality. Could have gone to Franco, an Italian painter, I think. His pop more than mine, but I think my blending is better, but blending on 15 millimeter might not be useful anyway. So.
Yeah, I think when we discussed it, we said it best where, you know, technique-wise, you were stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But execution might have been stronger for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think too.
Popping a bit more. But you need the eyes.
The other one was the one with the check, the checkered pattern.
Yeah, on the cloaks, yeah.
Yeah.
The Cronopia pattern?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, you mentioned Cronopia. The whole line, it's they call them the Knights of the Kiln, and they're just firstborns for Cronopia, or not just, but heavily inspired by.
Yeah, exactly. I would say.
Units almost 1-4-1 represent units from Cronopia, so but in a different scale, and there's some difference. But the inspiration is pretty clear. However, Cronopia has been dead for what? 16 years.
I was about to say that at some point Cronopia is really dead, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah,
so I think that's fine. And so I ended up tied first with John Franco. The other guy, I think, had the best army, came at second. And I'm happy with the result, but I'm not happy with how the voting went. Like I don't like pushing my stuff too much, And I had to, not beg, but almost beg for votes and stuff like that.
Yeah, you had to farm for votes.
Yeah, farming. Farming is exactly the right term. So, and I didn't do it alone. So, some coworkers and friends started to share it for me and trying to go into their own entourage.
So, yeah. So now you know what it's like to live a day in the life of Yom.
Yeah, it's a crystal brush on a small scale.
Yeah, the questing for online recognition.
Yeah.
Guys, someone comment, like, please, share something.
So, I really didn't like that. I would have preferred, well, I didn't know before. So, now I know. And I probably won't enter something like that again. I just don't, it doesn't jive with me. So, which is too bad because there is another painting contest, plan for his second faction, the Kindreds. I just hope he will change the voting or judging system. So, we'll see. And that's it for Abby. So, not much in 2 months. On the game side, I had a War Machine game War Machine Ords game with Yom at the GNR and Vince birthday party on the South Shore. I'm rusty. I think I haven't played. I played one with Paul like a week before that, and before that, it was probably a year and a half, and it shows.
Yeah, it showed. You clucked.
Yeah, I clucked myself. Yeah. I was doing fine on the table presence, but my time was bad.
I think you had a problem with the clock when we played too, didn't you?
Yeah, same thing. And also, I was playing with the app, and I don't know my cards yet enough, yeah. And I think the cards would have been faster for just checking quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to learn how to use War Room quickly on top of the game.
Yeah, so it showed that I haven't played much Mark III, but still, I'll be playing more. I still like the game, so I have some pigs on the table that will get painted, and I have a meat treasure coming in, so other stuff for the pigs. I'll play them more. And I also played 2 games of Guild Ball, one with Mathieu with his Brewers and one with Steve's with his Morticians. So 2 fun games. I always love playing Guild Ball. I'm still playing my Ox original lineup because they're the only one colored. I'm starting to feel like I need to branch out a bit. So I will be painting my finishing them and starting to paint the other teammates soon to be able to vary my lineup. And that's about it for my games. The only other thing I did was there is a hobby store in Victoriaville where I grew up. They were running a small a painting contest. And they asked me for judging because I'm friend with the owner. We were playing there back in the day. So I was there for the weekend. Yeah, not legendary. But I did the painting. There were, I think, 9 entries. They had varying level, but there were two that were really close, or 2 or 3. And it was fun, really judging. I never do it. Usually it's home that's been judging for figuring Quebec or other stuff. I usually don't do that. So it was an interesting thing to do, especially having some, like 2 or 3 of a really similar level. So how do you separate them? The results I gave probably could have changed like the week after, depending on how I was feeling. I don't know.
Just flip
it's a bit
coin.
Subjective.
Yeah.
At some point, you become nitpicky about things to make the difference between them. Yeah, that's a judge thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Consider it practice, Antoine.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it. Well, my weeks before Chaos Ludzik were different, very different from Antoine. On the contrary, there was Chaos Ludzik and Figurine Quebec happening at the same time. So my weeks before Chaos Ludzik was all about hobby.
Yeah, you don't do the preparation for the show. You prepare stuff to have at the show.
Yeah, pretty much as I'm participating in Figurine Quebec. The first thing that I cleared up was the we had a Ords set from TH Miniatures. It's a set of Risen Terran that I painted for the Chaos Ludzik like Terran inventory. The point was to use them during the games at Chaos Ludzik. So I had to rush them out to clear my painting schedule. By the way, at Chaos Ludzik, Thierry was there. Thierry TH Miniatures. He had his Future Winter set on hand.
Yes.
They look really good.
Yeah.
They will be a great upgrade to our snow tables.
Yep.
So as soon as you can put me on that, Tonio.
You will be running a Kickstarter for those as it's a bigger line.
Okay. Yes,
so the Ords one is a small line. There's only like 8 to 10 items.
Around 10, yeah.
Yeah. So he released it alone. But for a bigger set like the Snow one, he will be running it as a Kickstarter again. It will be his third, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he did the lava and the first one, ruin and fortification.
Yeah, that's it. So you should expect that pretty soon, I think.
All right. They are nice pieces and big pieces and very interesting.
We will be pledging with the club for sure.
And we talked, me and him, about how to quickly paint them and little tricks, like how he painted them and everything. So, yeah, should be fine. Should be interesting. Aside from that, for Figurine Quebec, I painted my two main entries. One was a 75mm Frank von Stein from Terrible Kid Stuff. Frank von Stein is a character from the Dust 1947 universe. It was my biggest like scale so far, I guess. Like I painted monsters, but it's not the same painting a monster from a 32mm scale to painting like a humanoid 75mm. A very interesting project. Learn a lot of things. It was also a way to how do you say that? Like put all my tools, like everything I've learned throughout the years, like into this like super big project. Like trying to push myself harder. I contacted a lot of painters. Heavyweights like our friends Mark Maxey or Chris Surrey, and I had all people contacting me, like James Craig, to just like give me cues and help me. Even I think Antoine, you pitched in at some point. Oh no, you help on the Sebastian Nemo. But I was just taking all that feedback and pushing myself. I think I busted like 50 hours on that that model. It's still. Right now is the top mark, like my best painting piece ever done. So, really happy with myself.
I can't imagine doing 50 hours on a model. You are a machine.
And still pushing like harder, like working textures and like putting stains, like a story in the character, like how I did the weathering on the claws and like the stain on the pants and the reflection. Like I added the base, the plinth is holo, so they are flickering LED lights, and there are some smoke plumes on top of them, so you can light the little fires at his feet. So you can either like add the reflection or not from the lights on his like boots. Like the texture of the boots is not the same as the texture of the pants, of course, and of the skin and of the claws and everything. Like pushing like the translucent skin because it's a zombie. It's like a Frankenstein monster zombie in the game. So like see the veins, all these color transitions because like some part of the skin is like starting to rot and stuff like that. Yeah, it was a very interesting project to push oneself. Secondly, my other main entry was the Privateer Press General Adept Sebastian Nemo bust. They released it at Adepticon, and Steve was kind enough to grab me one. Yes, Steve did the lineup at the PP booth.
I went twice.
Yep.
Because I got one for Max as well.
You're the man. You're the man. So same thing. I had a lot of people like giving me a hand. I posted a lot of whips. It's gonna be entered also like in the there's a group called Heavier Metal that's doing their third like annual and universal pending comp online called the Headbanger. So I want to use that for Headbanger. I said, well, I'm gonna try it, like try to enter it and figure in Quebec too. I had 10 days. So I still think that I reach a really high level with that piece. And today, the Privateer Press announced the next No Quarter Challenge, which is about that Nemo bust. So it will also be entered for the next No Quarter Challenge, which is the Privateer Press magazine, as you know.
Did you ever get your coin for the last thing you won there?
Yeah, finally. I had a paper version of the magazine with the gold coin.
Cool.
That was for Dynamo, the OSL thing. So yeah, so like I saw that bus, I was like, oh, so more Signar, more blue, and more OSL. I got this, baby. I've got this. For the fun of it, I challenged Chris Surrey, who's also working. We did a really good job on the last bust from Privateer Press, the Scar bust. He won the gold in the No Quarter Challenge. So it was only natural as King of the Hill to be challenged by newcomers like me.
I thought it was Liz Beckley that won the gold.
Nope. She came in silver in tie with Mark Maxey.
Cool. Oh, I never saw Mark's version. Okay.
Oh, it looks really interesting. Totally different from Liz. You know, like Mark is the Lord of Pastels, so it was all in pastel colors. Very interesting take. No, it was beautiful. Chris was really dark and gritty.
Yeah. Mark paints beautifully. I don't doubt it was beautiful. Mm. I just didn't see it. I don't get no quarters, so I only saw the one model that I saw.
Okay. Yeah. All three of them were really different. That's what I'm trying to say. So in the end, Chris, he took it with a smile, of course, because we're also buddies. But he won't enter it for the NQ because he's aiming higher. He's aiming at Gen Con or Lock and Load, one of the two. Something bigger than the NQ.
I thought maybe he was going to enter it in the... what is that? Isn't there the World... What is it?
World Expo?
Or something?
No, yeah. I don't think so. No, it's within... I'm pretty sure it's Gen Con or Lock and Load. Probably Gen Con. He's always... He always goes for the gold at Gen Con. This guy is always reach it is amazing. So we had a lot of discussion about like how to weather the guy, like me, because I wanted my concept for Nemo, because I was calling him Old Man Nemo all the time, was to make him look really tired and old. And Chris gave me a hand on that, like giving me cues and stuff.
Very cool.
All right. I guess it's my second best piece. It's my best bust so far, anyway. So, looking forward to the NQ. Next up, what I'm currently working on is the Black 13 unit and Gunmage Captain Adept that will be entered, but provided, I guess, for the a Signar Army raffle that will be during the new Next Nova Open this August. Basically, I thought about it on that old podcast we did, that the previous one that's going to be released at the same time. Basically, several painters are joining forces to paint a Signar army that would be like offered in a raffle. We are painting under James Craig, which is the leader of this little project. But Dave Taylor is like the man in charge of all the different raffles, because there will still be like 40k raffles and stuff. So we have, like I said in the other, but whatever, I'll repeat it. We have Matt DiPietro on board, Sam Lenz, and Ben Carver. And some random dude called Will Richardson from Moves Machine also. But that's it. Also, I started tonight a new project, which is two resin soldiers, like characters for Dust 1947. Yep. It's an old client of mine from Alberta. We contacted me again because he'll, I guess, like what I did. So I guess the Dust meta in Alberta is still going strong.
Okay.
Good for them.
I guess.
Yeah. I wished for the same here.
I don't even know what the current set of rules is.
I don't know. I don't. Me neither.
Not sure there's one.
Because they dropped the... What was it called? Battlefield, right? Wasn't that what it's called?
They kind of dropped it because Battlefront, like they cut ties with Battlefront, but they catched it. They caught it. Like Dust itself. Paolo Parente with his own company. So they just caught it and no, there's still the system still exists.
Okay.
People still work on the armies and post stuff and there's still models release and they still play, but not around here. Alright, that was the end of it for hobby. Game-wise, I had a game with Tonio, and is super rusty. So that game ended kind of quick, like after like second turn or something, or third turn. It was way too short of a game. But yeah, like you said, man... You require more playtime. You will be back in shape because for someone who's rusty, you're still pretty, remember pretty well what to do with your army.
Well, like, I guess someone rusty, of, not dead.
Yeah, well, I think, well, he hasn't pretty much played like two games in a year and a half. But for like another player not of his caliber, with a year and a half of not playing, would have be more rusty than that. Oh, and that's pretty much it. Like before the rush for Call of Duty, I had the time to play against the guys in the new odd place in town, the cool place in town, the wargaming basement of 80% G. So I came up with a funky list of non-team striker one, and I've played against like all the people living in the apartment.
You can play War Machine not in team?
Yes, sir. It happens when your name is Yom.
I didn't know that was possible.
I used, if you remember, like Captain Spud, those gobber sword knights that he did. Like they all like gobber mechanics, but with shields also they were used as proxies for sword knights. Because back in the days you could use two units with Darius, but he didn't want to have two units looking exactly the same. But with using them and Melly the mechanic from Bombshell Miniatures, I proxied them as Sam McCorn in the Devil Dogs. Because they knew that Devil Dogs have Dismantle, so it kind of made sense to have little gobber mechanics with Dismantle. So the unit looked good with the melee as Sam McCorn. It looks perfect.
Yeah, no, that totally works.
Yeah,
and Devil Dogs are actually quite good from what I hear now.
Yeah, man, they were really impressive under Striker 1. They were really. I had the ranking officer, Jonas Murdoch.
So they became friendly faction.
Exactly, so they can benefit from his feat, but mainly from his spell and everything. They gain assault, which changed a lot of things for them. Because
they have the shotgun equivalents, right, or something.
Yeah,
slug gun.
Slug gun. Yeah, it's slug a power guns, 14. Yeah. So with Dismantle, so not another die. But since you get assault, then you can do that and do your boosted melee attack with Dismantle. It's like. I played against 80% G at Cray Heavy Metal list with a bunch of jacks. I just like roll over him.
Cray? Hold on. So you were playing no theme into a cray list. Into was a this cray some list. Sort of alternate universe?
Yeah, Guillaume, the person G was playing cray in a list in an heavy metal team list. He has this idea that everything got repositioned, and it didn't end well for him.
He's always trying something new.
Yes, I will give him credit for that. He's always, always, always thinking and playing outside the box. Mad props for that. I like people like that. I'll try to do this as often as I can also. Make the game more interesting. But yeah, after that, I play against Tassin, his roommate, who was also at Kaldzik. He was playing Krix with unpainted Kraken at this point.
He was borrowing Guillaume's Kraken because I had his.
It was not as spiffy looking as you are. But yes, same result. Those devil dogs are just crazy. Yeah, they wrecked that Kraken easily. Anyway, thinking outside the box pays off. And that unit will be featured again because it looks good. It looks the part. Like for proxies, it really looks the part. So, sorry I took a lot of time. Steve, you're up, dude.
Yeah, sorry. For Abby, I've painted more of my Hunter teams. Almost finished two more models, three with Terran, the captain that I mostly will never play again.
Until season four. Terran.
Until they change it and arrange it. And because I received my reinforcement for the Hunter, I have assembled them. I've got them yesterday, and I assembled them tonight. They look amazing. They're really, really good models. I can't wait to paint them. I'm going to finish the rest of the team, though, so I won't have a tally of unpainted model for too long. And that's pretty much it. For my hobby since last time. As for gaming, I've played more Guild Ball, and I also played Guild Ball at Chaos Ludic. That's pretty much it.
All right.
Expand on that.
We can't all be you, Yom, okay? We can't all be you.
See, which is a good thing, I guess.
See, actually, it's a good thing we don't count shopping as hobby.
Well, usually we do.
Yeah, but I didn't want to take up the whole show.
Yeah, you've been on a rampage.
Yeah, I blame Steve.
It's not my fault.
Steve was all like, maybe we should play Age of Sigmar. And I'm like, yes. Yes, we should. Because I want an excuse to buy those damn dwarves. I'll take one of everything, please. So,
I like them. The Caradhran.
Yeah.
The squats.
These steampunk squats.
Yeah, I own one of everything now.
And you're blaming it on me?
Absolutely. I was resisting.
Well, I'm using my old stuff.
Well, you know what? I don't want to rebase. So I'm just going to base new stuff.
Well, I have lots of stuff that's not base or assemble, so I'm going to use that.
Yeah, that was the problem. I assembled all my fantasy stuff, except for my wood elves. I may still have unassembled wood elves.
And Tomb Kings. Apparently
they're unplayable. Oh, I have unassembled Tomb Kings. That's true. And I was very tempted to do that. But then giant dwarf boat things.
Zeppelins and stuff.
These things happen. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, that finished up our hobby section. Why don't we take a quick break, grab a drink, come back, and get to the main topic, which is our Chaos Ludic and Figurine Quebec wrap-up. So we'll be right back, geeks.
Fait crier malin, un moment dégoulé. Je commence à avoir peur.
And we're back. All right, let's talk about some Chaos Ludzik. And go.
It was fun.
Yeah, we rediscovered AOS.
Steve is discovering War Machine.
It's the Twilight Zone.
The world is coming to an end.
Exactly.
This is the apocalypse.
Trump's in office. Korea's about to nuke us all. And Steve's playing War Machine. And Yom's willing to try AOS.
The world is ending for sure.
Yeah. Cats and dogs living together.
We're already in the Stranger Things season 2 with the Upside Down.
Yeah, it's, exactly.
It's weird times. But yeah, the event went off without a hitch from the looks of it, anyway, from the outside. Thanks, I'm sure, in no small part to Antoine's superior planning capabilities.
Wow, well.
and everyone else's hard work, because there was a lot of logistics, people getting stuff and, you know, getting stuff arranged, getting the meals arranged, mm-hmm. set up.
Getting all the swags, getting the medals, everything. So lots of work by lots of people.
Yeah.
Just to give you some numbers, we had 175 players. We had around 15 organizers and volunteers. And that's without counting the Figurine Québec show. So I'm counting exclusively the Chaos Ludzik side, because both events take place at the same time, but we run them separately. And we also had two stores in the venue, L'Abyss and Le Grimoire, and three publishers or producers of either accessories, terrain, 3D miniatures. So from TH Miniature, we had 3D Wargaming and M3 Studios. So,
and it's important to mention that your 175 players is actually unique individuals.
Nope.
Because, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No, because we had repeats on Sunday.
There are some repeats from Saturday and Sunday. So it's a turnstile.
Okay. The reason I say that is because the numbers that the other Guillaume gave us for the meals and stuff seemed to imply that there was a lot more people. So I assume that number you were showing was unique IDs and not turnstile.
No, the launch number included Figurine Québec, included the stores, included us,
okay.
The volunteers. Okay. So that's why the numbers were that much bigger.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So the event ran really well. Sadly, both days I had to leave early for family reason, but my co-organizer were able to finish that.
Pick up the slack?
Yeah, pick up the slack. Yeah. pick up my slack, mostly. And finish the tournament and the prize both days. So thanks a lot to you guys for doing that. We had help from a fantastic volunteer, Steve Dollar, came for the registration and the lunch on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then she was proud.
Yeah, she looked super happy in the pictures. I was really sad I missed that. You know, I had to bail at the last minute for family stuff. It sucked. I thought about you all day.
Well, the highlight of my daughter was she was able to throw empty boxes in the empty and the container, throwing out the trash. That was the best part of her day.
Really? Oh, to be 9 again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But she had a medal and she was really proud of that.
She did a good job.
Oh, yeah, we gave her one game was canceled, but after ordering the medals, so we gave her one of those extra medals as a best volunteer of the
day. Nice. I'm sure she liked that.
Yeah. So we had 7 different games, 11 different tournaments over the 2 days. Everything went well. Nothing big happened. There's always something that happens, but nothing big. So
no batteries for the chess clocks the night before.
Yeah, stuff like that. But we were able to get them before the tournament started. So we had all the chess clock required. like
the toilet didn't clog, so that's a plus.
Yeah, they don't clog there. They were clogging at Quebec, but yeah. They haven't clogged there in what
yet.
We've run what, 4 or 5 different times there?
I think it's 5.
Yeah, at least. And they haven't clogged once. So at Quebec it was every time. So I'm happy with our ratio.
Good job, toilet.
Yeah. In the past, after an event, there was always some talk about, are we doing another one? Are we done with that? Is it taking too much of our time? And this year, for the first time, we are all in. Again, we don't need to take a moment to think if we want to run it again, if we want to pass the torch. No, there's no torch passing. We're running another one next year for sure.
There was not even like doubts.
Yeah.
Like last year was our best year. Like we, at least we went to the postmortem after the show and we asked ourselves, right? This year we didn't even do that. It was just like no doubts. Yeah. without even leaving the location, like. Before the end of the event was decided.
Yep.
And it seemed to run pretty smoothly. You know, the setup and everything. And once you're there, once the setup's done.
Well, there's the big difference is this year we had more help with the setup, I think.
Did we?
Well, for emptying. Emptying the room was quicker.
Yeah, I think you had more help with getting the stuff out. Usually that's longer, but I wasn't there. But usually players help anyway. So
yeah, the difference was that I was there to help set up this year.
Oh, that's why.
I bring a lot to set up, you know. I'm very good at carrying stuff and moving tables.
Yeah, we probably still have a bolt action medal for you, Paul, if you want.
It's okay.
Best Friday volunteer.
Exactly, best Friday volunteer.
Best table carrier.
Best mule.
Best mule, yeah.
But I don't have much more to say about it. Like, we only have good comments from players, from the store I've talked to, from TOs from the different games. So, no reason to stop there.
Yeah, I mean, and everything looked good. The tables, the setup was good. The terrain was nice. You've got it down to a science now. You've been there, like you said, five events. So you've got everything worked out, right? You know how you got to lay out the room. You know how you got to, you know, where you got to put people. You've got everything pre-planned, which makes it smoother. Definitely.
Yeah. So I'm happy that I came late Sunday and I had to leave early. If I came late Saturday, it would have been probably more problematic. I do most of the main organizing and like placing, and the guys would have had to a bit more work on their end if it was the case. So that's stuff I need to prepare more for next year, just in case it happens again. We never know.
Again, you learn every year, right?
Yep.
It's always something to add. All right. Anything really stand out about the event?
We had good comments about the medals. Instead of doing them ourselves and putting hard work into it, we just ordered some and people are happy. So never again I will be pouring those damn custom medals here.
No, it was a... yeah. Lot less work and it looked a little better. It costed more, but it was way better. Look,
we had a podium too.
Yeah, I brought a podium.
it was surprising how little it cost. Realistically,
yes,
per medal, I was really shocked. There's no way, like if you factor in Antoine's time, you know, smelting and casting and recasting and, you know, making molds and you know, Guillaume's time changing the numbers on the front of the medal every year and then buying the plaques and varnishing them all and gluing the medals to the, like,
yeah, that's another job.
Yeah, totally not worth it.
I mean I don't remember what the medals cost us, but I know it was totally more cost effective.
Yeah. The only reason they cost more than I would like is because we have a lot of team events. So it means a lot of medals per events.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it would be fine. Like just for War Machine, we needed 10 medals for the team event, I think.
10? Their team's a 3. Wouldn't that be 9?
Yeah, but there's one for a painting too.
Oh, so it's that's an individual medal, not a team
yes.
medal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And same thing for 40k. They needed 8. Age of Sigmar was 6 or 8 too. So it's a lot because of the team events. Outside of those, we would require a lot less.
Out of curiosity, who won the painting medal for War Machine?
It was Alain on the first day,
I think. That's what I thought. Okay. I figured it would be Alain. Because if it's not Faust and it's not Yom, he was my next guess. Okay.
And there was not a lot of people that were fully painted. Some people changed their list like at the last minute, I guess. Like some people had like 1 or 2 or 3 unpainted models.
That's
like,
unfortunate.
Jose Oksaka is always a strong contender, but he had like a couple of unpainted and a huge battle engine unpainted.
Yeah.
Qualified, but yeah, but it was the medals were a nice touch, and that little podium, like people played played a little game of the little steps of the podium, so they had fun on it, like taunting each other, like anyway, it was a success.
Oh, and talking about the podium, we were there when Blood Bowl finished. And they gave away their medal. And the TO for Blood Bowl is a sports journalist. So he was all in with stats while giving out the medals and calling people to go on the podium. It was really fun.
Yeah. He was the best. Yeah.
that community has to be the most steadfast community in gaming ever, period. Because what other game could be dead for as long as that? And it kept being played, and then it comes back, and it's like nothing's changed. Like, that's hardcore.
Dedication.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you guys were going to disagree or something, because no one said anything.
No.
I agree. And I hope they come back next year, because it was a fun, and they were you heard them when there was a good roll or a bad roll, high-fiving each other.
High-fiving each other, that great sportsmanship.
Yeah. So, I hope it grows for the next year if they come back. We're still in talk with all the TOs to get their comments out. We didn't have our post-mortem yet. It will happen next week. But right now, it's looking good for everyone I heard back from are happy.
Yeah, I think all around people, everybody looked happy. Also, there was... I didn't see any drama or anything. Like we had like an organizer for each tournament, and then we were like a super sweet seating, like overseeing yeah. everything.
Yeah.
So everything went super smooth with Antoine at the helm. Everything went super smooth. It was incredible.
Well, Antoine's the man.
Yep, he's the man. Even when he has to go earlier, but he's the man.
Yeah, but when I left, everything was planned. You guys exactly. had the list. You knew exactly what was
That's
left to do.
That's why you're the man.
All right. So while Chaos Lizic was going on,
yeah.
On day one, there was another show in the same location, right?
There's a little art show, like really elitist art show.
Hey, you said it. I didn't.
So in same location, but in the next room, like we had two like officers building. So in the other building, it was the Figure in Quebec show, painting competition. And now from this year, Crystal Brush qualifier for Culmine or not. During the ND Open previously, so it was the first year joining Chaos Lizic, We had painting competition in Kaludzik in like the second, maybe third edition?
No, first and second.
First and second edition.
Or first, second, and third. The all the ones we did at L'Expresso and before we had painting competition. All so the for the third three editions, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and one of those we even had the cool mini ornate, the crystal brush.
Yeah, exactly. The second one, the second year we had cool crystal brush fire because we only had that for 1 year.
Yep.
So of course, like as Kaludzik, we were open and like welcoming another painting competition, I think.
And that, to be honest, that's why we changed the date of the event. It was to go to spring and have it with Figurine Québec. After the ND declared that they were out because Dom was transferred outside of Québec, the ND went on a kind of a sleep
mode. Also,
it's
always hard to find a date for Kaludzik. So
yeah.
There was a spot there. Plus, it was fitting for Figurine Québec. So all in all, yeah, it was time for both events to combine. Yeah, it was the first. We'll see if it was a success on the old line. We'll see after that, but later. But we had 32 participants. That's 4 more than last year. There were over 150 entries because people were allowed to bring like a display of their work and enter as many miniatures that they wanted. Last edition during the ND Open, I think it was 120 entries. We had something new this year. We had 3 categories. Miniatures, which is what we expect from a painting competition related to a gaming convention. But we also had vehicles. But when I say vehicles, think really like military scale models. Okay, like Tamiya stuff. And we add mecha / gunpla category. It's like Gundams from Bandai. Things like that. So we add more people coming over. Like we reached 2 other communities. The Gunpla Montreal were joining us for the first time. And that's why they brought the old like Gundam side. And we had the... IPMS Montreal, the Real Côté Club de Modélisme, which are doing like historical vehicle tanks, dioramas and stuff. So we succeeded in reaching those 2 communities. So it boosted the number of participants to 32. We lost some figurine miniature painter, but we gained those participation from those other communities. It's a tough competition. Maybe that's why we lost some people over. We had otherwise a lot of sponsors. I think with Kaludzik, it also went really well. Like, do you feel comfortable, Antoine, to mention how much we gave at Kaludzik?
Over $4,000.
That's crazy, right? 175 gamers, over $4,000 in prizes. Anyway, we also had like hundreds, over 1,000, maybe 2,000 prize support from on the side of Figurine Québec. There were vendors on site. There was a yard sale. Basically, you can brought stuff, but it was always like painting related, like either new in box stuff or really like collection pieces or show pieces, display pieces. So there was a yard sale for that and a silent auction where sponsors were putting stuff into the silent auction and people, I say silent, quote unquote, there were like sheets next to the item. So people would just write their bet down for all to see. So it's a silent, quote unquote.
Silent open bidding.
Exactly. Yeah, not so silent.
That was weird. I'm not
accustomed to silent auction. Yo wants this? $5 more. You want that? $5 more.
Yeah, it's a good thing you weren't there. You asshole. But yeah, it was weird. Like, I mean, I'm not used to silent auction, so I don't know how it goes usually in other shows, but that was kind of weird.
Well, usually it's silent, right? You don't know who's who's bidding.
You don't know
the amount they're bidding.
Yeah, you write a bid and put it in box. That's what I was expecting. But yeah, some people were just like waiting at the end, like trying to snipe at the end of the auction.
Okay. That's just weird. It's very, very strange.
Me and Matt, we both wanted 75 mil Winter Child from Terrible Kids. Matt, I was judging, but Matt was nice enough to notify me that he had sniped me before the end. So he left me 5 minutes to snipe him back. So that's what I did. It was nice of him to notify me. Right.
And in the end, did you snipe it? Did you win it?
Yeah, I won it. I won it for a really good price. So after painting Frank, I will now paint Winterchild. I guess that will be my entry for next year. It's another great model.
I looked at that model when we talked about it on the news show because I played that faction in Dust.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I had a Russian faction. I really liked the look of that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I could never get the actual miniature. Because it was never in stock.
Okay.
And I think it went discontinued or something. So I just could not buy it. Or it was only in one of the bigger box sets or something. There was some catch to it. So I can never have it for my Russians.
Yeah, I think it was in a box. Like you had to buy a
I think you had to buy the original starter box. So when that went out of production, so did he. So when the large scale model came out, I was like, oh shoot, yeah. That'd be cool to have. And I'm like, well, to do what with? It's, you know.
Oh, it's a really, really nice model. So yeah. I have to think what I will do with him because it'll probably be my main entry for next year. It's a really nice one. So I'm really happy to have won that. But again, like I said, we had a lot of sponsors from different things like paints to plinths, bases to model kits, to miniatures to busts.
Hey, Geeks of the North sponsored.
Geeks of the North was a sponsor.
Yeah.
You gave
well,
us
I always
the...
try to...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I tried to sponsor... Well, I've always sponsored it. I sponsored it last year as well for the team. So this year we gave the... what's it called? The Triumvirate of the Primarch box.
Yeah.
So give a little robot Gulliman love to the event.
Yep. It's Mathieu who won it, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
He bid on it. Yeah.
Nice.
But, I won't mention all the sponsors, but you can visit the page of Figurines Québec if you want people and see all the amazing guys that contributed. In the end, there were several categories, different awards. Like, I talk about the three main categories, but in them, there were awards. So there was, of course, the Best of Show. That was the overall winner. But then you had the Prix Nouvelle France, which is the History of Canada Team Award for the show. You had the Public's Choice, the Best of Bust, Best of Sci-Fi / Fantasy, Best of Historical, Best of Monster, Best of Withering, that was a special prize by Secret Weapon, mm-hmm. and Best of Gundam. So guess Best of Gundam was applied to which categories, right? we were 22 participants, like I said. The guy who came from farther and everybody else was Jeff Burns. He came from Winnipeg. And he came and vanquished all his enemies.
And he conquered, yeah.
Yeah. Came and conquered and kicked her ass. He won. He had a samurai bust. The guy entered like half an hour before like closing the doors, like he came in just before the end of the show, just before we started judging. So with a nice samurai bust, he won Best of Bust, Best of Historical, the People's Choice, and the Best of Show. So yeah, that was a slaughter. He brought a old display. All right, so his bust won all those prizes except People's Choice. It was another piece from him that won People's Choice. And because I counted the votes for the People's Choice, I knew who the runner-up was. The second piece with the most vote was also from Jeff.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, you just kicked all our asses. So Jeff will get his ticket to go to Crystal Brush in Chicago. It's like, really, he came and he just lost the rest. But I did great. I won Frank Von Stein. He won Best of Sci-Fi / Fantasy. And I had a great unclean one who won Best of Monster.
Oh, that was the great and clean when you entered in Crystal Brush a couple years
Yeah,
ago, right?
Yeah. See, my point, my idea, I guess, was to enter it like it was. I presented 2 years ago in Crystal Brush. It didn't make the judges' cut. Okay. So I thought, well, I'm going to. At first, I wanted to finish it because I had ideas to how to push it, but I didn't have time. So instead, I still brought it and I entered it because I knew that by doing that, the judges had to give me feedback. Because they will need to eliminate the, like when they were selecting the piece from my display to judge, they need to eliminate it, right? So they will say between when they were discussing what was wrong with it. So that was like crude, like honest, ruthless feedback on what was wrong with the Great Hotline one. But since there was not a lot of monsters, it still won Best of Monsters. It was still the best monster around, but not good enough. You know, to win my to be selected in my display. The judges team, like Mathieu Fontaine was the overseer, okay, just like the equivalent of Antoine on his side. And the judging team, we were five guys. So it was me, Sam Juskin, Faust, many people know him by right now, Faust, Tom Vlatko, and Jean Graton. So Jean knew a lot about historical, so all the, like the four of us, we were left judging all the pieces from the miniature side. And of course, when we came to our own display, like me and Faust, we just didn't vote. Like it was three judges for these entries, for these display. For the rest, we were four judges. We fixed something from last year. There are still things that can be... that we could do better for next year. But yeah, you know, you remember last year I participated with a bust and I talked about it on the show. You remember, guys, I said that there was like two systems used for judging?
Yeah, you were judged first on your like artistic merit and after that on your technical or something like that.
Yeah, the piece from your display was selected based on artistic value. And then you were judged by technical skill. So I was mad last year because it didn't make sense to me. I mean, if you select a piece, judge it for the same reason that you selected for. So this year that was fixed. We selected pieces based on technical skill and then we judged the technical skill. And the artistic value was the tiebreaker. You know? So two pieces with equal skill, if one was a lot more, like there was a lot more research or interesting use of color or light or placement or anything that would boost the artistic value, that would be the tiebreaker instead of selecting it for this. Because I would have changed all this year again. That would have changed all the results for everybody. So at least that is fixed. Yeah, it was an interesting judging. Also, was a lot faster. Yeah, we had some really, really, really strong pieces. There's not a lot of participants, but the level is really impressive. Yep, people come from far away and they bring really their A game. It's really interesting to see.
And then they win all the medals.
And then they win all the medals. Yeah. Poor us locals, amateurs. No, get I'm better, really glad. I'm really happy with what I did with Frank.
I'm really I hate to say it, you know, but he was super well done. I actually was showing him around at work. I was showing people pictures on Facebook of what you'd done. And everyone was like, oh my God, did you paint that? Like, no.
No. Yeah.
Like, but I know the There's guy no that painted that. Yeah, no, it's okay. I'll ride on your coattails. I don't need to claim to be good at anything.
Well, I'm glad that you like it, Paul. I'm really glad that you do. You're a tough crowd, Paul.
Yeah. And I could hear Steve violently typing to me that I sounded like a robot because my connection is dropping. But hopefully my side of the recording doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, on my end it sounded like a robot.
Yeah, it's Skype. It's not his recording, so it won't show in the recording.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think my wife is eating up all my internet connection.
Hold on the Netflix there, honey.
That's okay. I'm just going to log into the router remotely and kick her.
Don't do that. Anyway. Don't change the Wi-Fi password. It's not a good idea. I know from experience, guys. Don't do it.
Anyway, I hope that Figure in Quebec will come back with us. I hope to be on the team again. I hope that people will join again like all the other clubs. Actually, I'm going to just do a shout out for them right now. So we were really happy to have you, the folks from Gun Club Montreal and the folks from Club de Modélisme IPS Real Côté. I hope to see you again. And of course, thank you to all the sponsors and participants for showing up. It's like all the pillars. If one falls, if one is missing, everything falls.
Well, that's deep, Yom.
No, you get the point. It's fun to have a painting competition of that caliber in Quebec. Like for people like for guys like me, we cannot just travel all the time far away. It's fun to have this kind of event really close by. There's another one in Toronto about the same
kind of event. It's a good showcase. Sorry, Yom. Go ahead, continue.
Just quickly, that it was the same kind of event in September called Sword and Brush that we probably all gonna visit them also. Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's in Toronto.
The Sword and Brush, yes.
Yeah.
Where do you think it was happening?
Oh no! It's not that I thought it was happening somewhere else. I just did not know.
Okay.
And, my connection cut out because my connection is doing terrible, terrible things.
We had a lot of people from Ontario, so it would be our turn to go and visit them. Yep.
I agree.
Go there and conquer?
You're just like Jeff Burns conquered us. Hey, guys, put a little note in the front door, like, no Jeff Burns allowed.
If only it was that easy.
Yeah. If you see this guy, trip him.
Yeah, I really want to thank, not related to Figure in Quebec, but back to Chaos with Zik, which I was a little more involved with in terms of collecting some sponsorship. And I really want to thank John Damaris over at Muson Minis and Mr. Justin at Secret Weapon Minis, because they were super, super generous to me. And Amuse, it's the first time they've ever sponsored us, and they gave us a ton of product, which I thought was really cool.
Yep, we had a lot of sponsors, lots of generous ones, and some new, some old ones coming back. So, really happy with everything on that side. Well, I just checked, you asked earlier how much, and I said over 4,000, and it's about over 4,500, so even more. So we were able to give a lot, and that's all thanks to the sponsors.
Yeah, we had a mat from Deep Cut Studio.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who won it, like on the second day, we it was a random prize between everybody that played War Machine, Warmahorde that day. The guy who won it from the casual tournament, like he had the smile like split from here to here. He couldn't believe it. The guy was really floored. That's always cool, right? Like, oh yeah, the face he had. He couldn't believe it. It's like, really? Really?
It's always fun when someone wins and is really, really appreciative. That's always super cool. All right. We are rambling. We should probably close this out.
Before I fall asleep.
Yes, before Steve falls. I forgot Steve was there. I hadn't heard him in forever. Poor guy. And we wouldn't even let him hobby to keep himself awake because we're mean.
Yeah, I couldn't scrape my creature caster models.
I can't believe you finally got them.
Yeah, after, 3 years or something? Actually, Yom almost got one before I got my Kickstarter pledge.
Slightly delayed, I think, is the term.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the price for the best of monster was a kit from creature caster. It was this huge, bloodthirster equivalent.
Yeah. That's a nice model. I really like their bloodthirster.
Yep. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that was the guy that did the Ultra Forge before, so.
I was looking at that model, and I always had a bug with the Games Workshop Bloodthirster, the new one. You know, I was never happy about it when I saw paint jobs. This one, it looks better.
Yeah, I don't like the GW Bloodthirster. I had two. I gave them away. Well, I sold one and I gave the other one away.
Less goofy, more dynamic. No, it looks a lot more terrifying, a lot better.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, is there anything else to add in relation to Chaos Zik or Figurine Quebec?
Nope.
We'll do it next year.
Okay, aside from the fact that we're going to do it next year, are we good?
Yeah.
All right, I think we should probably sign off then. Guys, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being on here.
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, same thing. Bye, everyone.
Way past my bedtime.
It's because you're old, Steve.
I know.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PR Filio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to unitedgeeksnetwork.com, where you will find Almost Podcast, a fan-driven companion podcast for the Almost Human television show. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.